Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Lewis Fine, and as always, we have a great show in store for you with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas. He's going to be talking today about a topic that's very compelling to real estate investors, and as an issue for all business owners, is one of the utmost relevance, and that is, what do you do when your marketing campaign is working? It's successful, the phone is ringing, what do you do next? Kevin's going to speak to that and much more. Let me bring him on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Lewis.
So let's answer that question, or let's have you answer that question. The phone's ringing, the marketing campaign is working. What do you do next?
Well, this may be one of the most scariest aspects of the business to a new real estate investor is when they get that first call or those first few calls off their marketing. And you know, so it could be very scary to the new investor, but it can be also critically important or relevant to the experienced investor or seasoned investor. Because marketing, as a real estate investor, that's our single largest expense in our business. That is the biggest expense on that profit line for most investors is the amount of money they spend on marketing. So it is so critical that when that marketing goes to work and it works, like you mentioned, starts generating leads and starts creating incoming phone calls, that you know what to do with calls and you know what to do with those calls professionally and appropriately and timely and confidently without the fear or apprehension that you may feel. Because that's a critical investment that you've made in your business. That's the critical outcome, and that's the intended outcome, is to get those calls. So now what do? You got to really handle those with care. And I'll tell you, it is so critical that you are able to convert those incoming calls to appointments, because that is ultimately, that's the root of your business. It's such an critical component of an investor's business that many of us track it. Me personally, we track our conversion rates. How many leads is my marketing generating? And secondly, most important, how effective am I at converting those leads into appointments where I can actually go to the house, meet with the seller, make an offer, and ultimately purchase the property? So it's just a critical component is your ability to convert these leads and handle these phone calls appropriately and confidently so that you can buy more houses.
So let's talk about that, because this is really about follow through. That phone rings. Talk to us about how an investor should comport him or herself, how an investor should behave, the protocol in which once you answer that call and you're speaking with a prospect, you can convert that individual into a client, if you will.
Well, first and foremost, your temptation, and even my temptation in our discussion right now, is to quickly jump to the tactics. All right, let's get to the facts. Let's get to the numbers. And you really got to pull back the reins and wait a minute. And let me offer a few guiding principles first before we get into the nuts and bolts of the call. Adopt some guiding principles that will keep you grounded and focused and headed in the right direction during the call. And it's going to help immensely in ultimately gaining that appointment and having a productive call and a professional call that meets that seller's expectations. So here's three quick guiding principles. Keep in mind that you, as the real estate investor, when that phone rings with a seller on the other end who wants to sell their home, your role when you answer that call is, number one, you want to listen. Number two, you've got a priority to build rapport. And number three, you've got a desired outcome to get invited to that house so that you can see it, meet them, and make your offer. So let's talk about those three real quick. For all your role as a listener. Remember, they called you. It's their call. It's about them. It's about their house. And it's about their situation. It's not about you. It's not about how great of an investor you are or how many houses you bought this month or how many houses you bought in that neighborhood or how much you know about real estate. This is their time, their call. So listen. And one thing you can do to be an effective listener is reflect what they're telling you or reiterate or recap or review. This will, number one, make sure that you personally are listening and hearing and understanding. And number two, it's going to allow that seller to develop a comfort level with you that, hey, this person is listening. They understand my situation. And when I say reflect, as they walk through their story or their situation or their problem or their dilemma, repeat it back to them throughout the call. Oh, for example, oh, okay, I understand. You've inherited the house of your aunt who lived on the south side of town, and the house is now vacant, and she has passed away, and you're responsible for taking care of the house and selling it and liquidating it. Okay, that makes sense. That's an example of reflecting back what you've heard and helping them to ensure that you really understand what it is their situation is and ultimately how you can solve it. Secondly,
now that's a very good point, and this gets to a broader concept of marketing. There's the marketing that you do that is successful for those inbound calls, but then there's the broader sense of marketing, and I'll put marketing in quotes here, where when you have personal face-to-face interactions with people, those individuals are making a judgment not only about what you know, but about how you behave, the respect you accord those individuals, and, of course, your overall professionalism. And you've been doing this a long time, Kevin, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's what I call the rapport, and it's a key guiding principle or objective of this brief telephone call. You know, you have a few minutes to build rapport with that individual, and think about it. You have got to build enough rapport with this, for lack of a better word, complete stranger over the phone in this very limited amount of time so that ultimately they'll invite you, a complete stranger, to their home. And that's a pretty tall mountain to climb. You really have to understand the importance of this call and the importance of building rapport in a very limited amount of time so that ultimately they are so comfortable with you and you've listened to them and you understand them that they will invite you to their house. And you know, that's the third guiding principle that I mentioned. Once you listen, once you build the rapport, your third guiding principle or your desired outcome is to get invited to the house. And you know, you can't help them until you can get to the house and see the property and understand better them and their situation. And ultimately, you can't buy that house until you get to the house so that you can make the offer and ultimately purchase it. And you've got to get to the point. And don't forget to get to this point, even more importantly, where you ask. Kind of like the old, you've got to ask for the sale. Well, you've got to ask for the appointment. After you've listened, you've built the rapport, the call is going well and you're comfortable, simply ask, well, when would be a good time or day for me to come by, Lewis? And then be quiet and listen again.
Now, there's nothing more important or sacred, I suppose, than that invitation to come into someone's home, that sense of intimacy and trust. How do you build that?
You know, you've got to connect, and you've got to connect over the phone. And that's something unique about our business. People can't come into our offices or our retail stores and say, hey, I have a house to sell. Can I sit down here across from you at a desk or a table and tell you about me and my house and make a connection with you here? You've got to be able to do that over the phone, and it's a great challenge. And you know, I'll tell you one little quirk as silly as it may sound, when you answer that phone from that incoming lead, make sure there's a smile on your face, whether you're sitting at your desk or you've just pulled over off the highway or wherever you may be. Put a smile on your face and answer that phone, and then challenge yourself to keep that smile on your face as you talk to them. You'll be surprised how that will come across. And it's a tactic that I learned and used, and I encourage you to do it because it'll get to what you're referring to, Lewis, is how do I build rapport that quickly and that remotely so that I can get somebody to invite me to their home when I am virtually just a stranger.
Now, again, once you're in the home, even if that prospect does not turn out to be a client or someone who will sell you their home, there is still a great deal of importance about a lasting impression because they can be referrals for you, those individuals. Tell us about that.
That's a great point. And if I can back it into a key point that I'd like to make is, you know, there's some do's and don'ts on these calls, and I'll refer to them as buy calls. You know, you have somebody who is calling you to buy their house. And one of the key don'ts for me when I receive an incoming buy call is, and this could be pretty controversial, let me tell you, because many investors would disagree. But I don't ask about loan amounts. I don't ask them what they owe on the house. Do you have a mortgage? I don't do that at risk of, number one, overqualifying that lead and myself, perhaps talking myself out of going to the house because, oh, darn, they got a mortgage and they owe too much and I could never pay them that much. Or number two, you risk that seller answering that question, convincing themselves that, oh, darn, I can tell by the voice on the other end that my loan is too high. This is never going to work. For those two reasons, and a third reason being that I think that's private information that I'm not going to ask a stranger over the phone how much they owe on their house. For these reasons, I am not going to ask about a loan amount. And to your earlier point, Lewis, as I circle this back, I'm going to go to the house of every lead that I can get to because even if, let's say, they owe too much, it is a lead. Just like you said, it's a referral. I could perhaps assign that house to somebody or some investor who's willing to pay more than I, and what they're willing to pay might very well satisfy the mortgage balance. I might refer that lead to another investor who purchases houses subject to the existing loans. And in those cases, their model is very different, and they can purchase homes subject to when the mortgage balance is higher than your average investor would pay. It could also be a short sale referral. If they owe too much or more than the house is worth, well, hey, I've got a realtor who will work with you to perform a short sale. And finally, and I can speak from personal experience, as crazy as it sounds, there are many, many sellers who owe more than the house is worth or owe more than you as an investor are willing to pay. They have money that they will bring to the closing table to close the gap, so to speak. If they owe 80 and you offer 70, many individuals are perfectly comfortable bringing $10,000 to the closing table in order to pay off the balance of the mortgage that you can't. They understand the house, they understand what they owe, and they understand that they're not going to get it, and they're fully prepared and capable of closing that numerical gap and ultimately still selling the house to you.
These are very critical points, and I just want to summarize again that marketing encompasses so many different things. We can call it many different things, but in the end, it is one overarching theme. And it starts with picking up that phone when it's ringing and talking to a prospect and conducting yourself with professionalism, intelligence, wisdom, and compassion. And Kevin, I thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Lewis.